are finishing a series we started 3 weeks ago, just called Be Not Afraid. And so we looked at the Christmas story, and three different times God sent an angel to three different people, but he had the same message. He started the message the same way each time with the phrase, do not be afraid. Now that's a good message for us because there's a lot of unsettling things in the world. I don't know if you noticed that or not. You know, economic problems, relational fears. You know, some of you may be wondering, is my marriage going to make it through another year? Our Republican front runner, you know, soon to be president, was an assassination attempt twice on his life. You might have saw in the news this week that the CEO of the largest health insurance provider in America was assassinated. And apparently we also have UFOs flying over New Jersey or, you know, other places. I'm not sure they'll make it to the South. We'll just shoot them down if they fly them over here. But, you know, other parts of the country, they get away with that. We have fears about our kids' lives. We have fears about our health. And let's just take a quick Christmas poll this morning. If you are 100% honest, how many of you are a little bit, just a little bit afraid of your January credit card statement? Right? Yes. And then there's more serious, you know, concerns. People fear losing a loved one, fear flying, going broke. People have fear of heights, fear of spiders, fear of flying. Actually, there's some really unique and strange fears, and they actually have titles, and I looked them up, and I don't even know if I can pronounce them right. Pelletophobia is the fear of baldness. Or the fear of bald people. I didn't know that was a thing. Porphyrophobia is the fear of the color purple. I'm not sure what purple ever did to any of you, but there's actually a phobia. Chetophobia is the fear of hairy people. I might have that. I don't know. That's a 50-50. And then there's phobophobia. It's the fear of fear, right? Yeah, it's just the fear. I don't know what I'm afraid of. I'm just afraid I'm going to be afraid. And so today I want to talk about a fear that a lot of people don't talk about, a lot of people don't think about. It's kind of under the surface, and we tend to not think about it unless we're maybe at a funeral or we have a health scare or we have a close call of some kind. And that's just the fear of wondering, where is it exactly do you stand with God? Like, where exactly are you in this, you know, interaction and relationship? What does he think about you, and where do you stand with him? And what's next after this life? And when this life is over, what's going to happen to you? You know, are you going to spend eternity with God in heaven? Or will you spend eternity separated from God in hell? And that's a really unsettling thing to think about and a little scary. And the reason it's scary is because we all know ourselves well enough to know that we have weaknesses and we have flaws and we don't get everything right. And, you know, sometimes we've done things we're not proud of. And so it's kind of a scary thing because we all know there are parts of our lives that aren't as good as they should be. Now, maybe you haven't been to church in a long time, or maybe this is your first time. I'm praying today that this part of the Christmas story will build your faith. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, here it is, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. Have you ever wondered why God would send such an important message through an angel to shepherds? Have you ever wondered that? Like, if it were me, if I were trying to get a message out to the whole world, I think I would send it to like a priest that would, you know, maybe be rigidly faithful to it, or a scribe who could at least write it down, or maybe, you know, some big time leader that could tell a lot of people, or at least somebody with a lot of Instagram followers. You know, I would do something, I think, but shepherds are kind of an odd choice. And if you know anything about shepherds in that time period, you know why it's an odd choice. They were the lowest rung of the ladder in society. And one of the reasons they were is because sheep would break in and eat people's crops, And that would, you know, hurt that person's crop, and it ultimately would hurt the economy. And so shepherds got blamed for that. So shepherds had a bad reputation. Nobody really wanted to have anything to do with them. And so I want to give you this morning a few reasons that the shepherds themselves were probably shocked that God sent an angel to announce this to them. And I want to show you why that might, those reasons might be why they felt distant from God. So here's the first one. The shepherds felt unworthy. Have you ever had that feeling before? Like, imagine yourself standing before God and wonder, am I really worthy of his love? Am I really worthy of his grace? Shepherds felt unworthy. Shepherds felt unworthy because they had a nasty job. Sheep are nasty animals. And when you were a shepherd and you dealt with nasty animals all day, according to their culture and religion, they were ceremonially unclean. So they weren't even clean enough to go to the temple. And so the message was clear. They were too dirty to go to the temple. And maybe you felt that way at some point in your life, like you just weren't somehow good enough for God. I remember when I was in kindergarten, this is the last time I remember stealing something, but I remember I was a little thief in kindergarten because my teacher asked me, she said, hey, Jay, would you go to the desk? It was, I don't know, a pencil, whatever it was. Go and pull the middle desk drawer out and get a pencil. And anybody knows if a teacher asks you to go into their personal stuff, you know, you've been welcomed into the Holy of Holies. You know, we don't know what's really in there. And a lot of trust has been put into you, you know. And so you feel all that, your little sweaty little hands. You're about 5 years old, you know. So I walk up, I pull the desk drawer up. And there's this miniature Almond Joy candy bar. And I love chocolate and coconut. It's so good. Anybody chocolate and coconut? I love chocolate and coconut. And I saw it there, and it grabbed me. It grabbed my soul. And I thought, and I have this 1 second to make this decision. What do? I want it so bad. So I grabbed my sweaty little paw around it, and I took it, and I stuffed it down in my pocket. And for some reason, I don't know why, just a little kid, I kept it in my pocket with my hand around it to protect it. You know, like I'm going to hide it, extra hide it somehow. And it like liquefied almost inside the wrapper. And all day as school went on, I would watch when my teacher would go to the desk and pull the drawer out. And I think, did she notice? Then she'd shut it. And I go, oh, you know, I'm going to live another day. And the whole day ended. And I took it home. And the thing had liquefied. And then I snuck into the house. And I went into my bedroom. And I shut the door. And here's my chance, my little crime I've gotten away with. I'm finally able to, you know, to have my reward, I guess. And so I go in there and I eat it, and it tastes like vinegar. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't even like it. It's terrible because I feel so guilty and I feel so bad for what I've done. And then I have this, and then I'm licking the wrapper because you can't, it's not a solid anymore, it's a liquid. And it was terrible. But I carried so much guilt. And you know, I never even told anybody that. And now you know. Now you know, I didn't tell my parents, I didn't tell my teacher, I never got caught. But can I tell you, the weight that put on my little life at that time was so heavy, and I mean, I still remember it all these years later. Maybe you're here today and there's just some kind of weight on you, some kind of heaviness, something that you know that you've done that doesn't please God, it's not good. Maybe it's a private sin, maybe it's something that nobody knows about, maybe you're doing something and you've tried to stop and you can't stop and you don't know what to do. Maybe it's a public sin. Maybe it's something like, you know, you cheated on your spouse or you got a divorce and it wasn't, you know, entirely not your fault and you feel like you let your family down or you let God down. For whatever reason, you just have some kind of weight on you this morning that makes you feel unworthy. Maybe you've made some really bad financial decisions, and now here at Christmas, when everybody's wanting to spend more, you don't have more to spend because you know you made some bad choices, and it's just a heavy weight on you. The shepherds felt unworthy, but they also felt inadequate. They were uneducated. They weren't allowed to go to school because, so that's why they were uneducated, so they felt like they were less than. They couldn't testify in court because they were considered to be untrustworthy. Shepherds were equal to tax collectors and dung sweepers and prostitutes. Like, they were the bottom. If you were walking down the street and you saw a shepherd in that time, you would probably cross the road and go to the other side of the road because the shepherds felt inadequate. They also felt spiritually inadequate. You know, after being a pastor all my adult life, I've noticed that most people at some point in their life, somewhere in their life, feel spiritually inadequate. Because it's maybe like you say, I don't really know how to read the Bible. When I read it, I don't understand it. I don't know how to pray. When I pray, I don't know what to say. I definitely don't want to pray out loud. Maybe we're singing songs and you're like, you know, I don't have a good singing voice. I don't know what I'm supposed to do when we're all standing here singing. And maybe you're thinking, you know, when somebody's hurting, I don't know how to help people that are hurting. I've never been trained. Nobody ever taught me. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And the list just gets higher and higher and higher and higher. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know, when it comes to the spiritual stuff, I don't even really know where to start. And you may be here, you know, all dressed up and, you know, festive, but deep inside, even though you're smiling on the outside, deep inside you're thinking, I don't feel very close to God. The shepherds felt unworthy and they felt inadequate. They also felt unloved. As I said, everyone avoided them. Nobody wanted to be around them. They weren't welcome in the temple. They weren't welcome in the marketplace. No father wanted his daughter to marry a shepherd. And maybe for some reason or another, you feel that way today. You know, Christmas is a magnifier. It makes good times better, but it also makes painful times more painful. And maybe you're feeling a little lower today, and this season feels a little lower to you, and everyone around you seems to be enjoying the Christmas season and, you know, all the festivities and all the fun, but you feel, for whatever reason, kind of like you're just on the outside looking in. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe you lost somebody. You're just feeling left out. And if you're feeling that way, sometimes it's easy to say, if this is how my life is, does God even care? Does God even notice? But here's the thing I want you to see today. The angel appeared to shepherds and said to the lowest of the low, I have really, really good news for you. And what God says to every one of us today is, I have really, really good news for you. A Savior has been born. And if you accept His love and you come to know Him, you will absolutely never be the same again. It will change your life. And that is the good news. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to show you why what the angel said was good news. I want to explain exactly what that good news is. Romans 3:20 says this, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So what that says is, it doesn't matter how hard you try. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how honest you are. It doesn't matter how hard you try to treat people right. It doesn't matter what your reputation is. It doesn't matter if people think you're a really good person. Everybody's perception of you is you're a really good person. According to Romans 3:20, there's no amount of good you and I are ever going to be able to do that will be enough. And actually, the last part of this verse says the law was given us, the Ten Commandments. God gave us the Ten Commandments out of His grace and out of His mercy to show us there's something missing in our life. Because nobody can perfectly follow the Ten Commandments all their life. None of us. I can't, you can't, nobody can. And so God gave us the Ten Commandments not to hit us over the head with a hammer and say, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, but to say to us, you're missing something. And he gave it to us to show us, to prove that to us. Romans 3:21, look at it, it says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. There's a way to be right with God without being good enough. There's a way to be right with God without being perfect, without always getting it right, to still be human, to still mess up, to still make mistakes. What does it say? As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets. So God has shown us a way. So he didn't come to say, hey, look, you're missing something, so you're out, you're rejected. God has shown us a way, and the way is you don't have to be good enough, you don't have to be consistent enough, you don't have to look back and say, I'm going to try as hard as I can and never make that mistake again. That's not how you have a relationship with God. Then how do you? Verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. We're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. Do you see that verse? No matter who you are. How are you and I ever going to be right with God? By putting our faith. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Yes. I mean, there's no red tape. There's no bureaucracy. There's no fill out this form and we'll get back to you in a couple of weeks. There's no backlog. There's no government program. There's none of that. The good news is God moved all that stuff out of the way. And he said, you only need one thing. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the best news. Who's the message for? Did you hear what it said? Everyone who believes. It's for Baptists. It's for Methodists. It's for spirit-filled people, it's for atheists, it's for agnostics, it's for good people, it's for bad people, it's for people who try really hard and maybe can't get it all right, it's for people who don't try at all. It's for everyone who believes. So this morning, what I want to do as we kind of wrap up is I just want to give you two thoughts that really clarify this part of the Christmas story. Here's the first one. Number one, we cannot earn God's acceptance. You can't earn it. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good you are, and look, you may be better than most of the people in this room, or at least as good. But you know what Romans 3 says? It doesn't matter. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn God's acceptance. None of it matters because we can't be good enough for God to accept us. Here's the second thought. We're made right with God by faith in Christ alone. Now here's my prayer today. My prayer today is that that truth will sink in deeply into your heart. That you and I are made right with God through faith alone. We're made right with God through faith alone. I pray today that that truth will wash over your soul. In fact, would you just say that with me a few times? And my prayers as we do, it'll just wash over our soul. In Christ alone, would you say it with me? In Christ alone? Let's say it again. In Christ alone? One more time. In Christ alone. That's good news. That is good news. That's such good news. Jesus came to take the burden off of your shoulders and off of mine. He didn't come to add to it. And that's the good news the angel came to bring. And no matter who you are or what you've done or how unworthy you feel or how inadequate you feel or maybe even how unloved you feel, this good news is for each one of us. And do you know why the angel came to the shepherd? Do you know why the angel came? God sent the angel to the lowest of the low? Because he wanted it to be, why wouldn't he blast it through some big leader somewhere and really get it out there? Because he didn't want there to be any confusion on this one truth. That it doesn't matter how far you've gone, you can't go so far that God can't find you. And it doesn't matter what you've done, you can't do anything bad enough that God can't forgive you. And it doesn't matter how bad you've been hurt, you can't be hurt or abandoned enough that God can't love you. And his love is for you, not against you. So that's why God sent the angel to the lowest of the low. Jesus came for all the people. So, what is the Christmas message to our hearts today? It's this. Do not be afraid. Because when you accept the message, it brings great joy and good news for all the people. I want to ask you for a moment, if you just close your eyes, if everybody in the room would just close your eyes for a moment, and you know, even if this moment's not for you, it would be good. You can give everyone else some privacy, okay? Would you just close your eyes and open your heart for a moment? And I just want to ask one question. When I was a kid, I was raised in church, but I wasn't raised in a Christian family, Christian home. And I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know God. And I believed in God, but I didn't know God. I didn't have a relationship with Him. And I learned something through that. I learned that believing in God doesn't make much difference, but having a relationship with Him changes everything. But I had to learn first that I didn't have a relationship with Him before I could learn that I needed one. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here and maybe you were raised in church. Maybe you know about God. Maybe you believe in God. Maybe you're a good person. But do you have a real relationship with Jesus? That's the question today. So just as you sit and quiet your heart for a moment, that's the question I want to ask you. Do you have a real relationship with Jesus? Now, I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you, were you raised in a Christian family? I'm not asking you, do you want to join a church? You don't need religion, you need a relationship. I'm just asking one question and only one question, and this is it. Do you have a real relationship with Jesus? And I think there are two kinds of people here this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I do. And honestly, I may never have. Today, Jesus is inviting you to start a new and a real relationship with Him. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, I grew up as a Christian or whatever, growing to church, but if I'm honest, I've grown spiritually numb and cold, and I feel far away from God, and I'm not really sure where I'm at. You know what? I think Jesus is inviting you today to renew your relationship and to come back close to Him today. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you to pray. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to move. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to stand up. And if you're online, this is for you too. Last week, we had the joy of meeting a young lady for the first time. She had never been on our property, never been on our campus. And last week, she came on our campus for the first time because she had been watching us online for a while, and she had found Jesus. She had found a relationship with Jesus. And last week, we had the joy of baptizing her in water. And so this is 100% for you if you're online. But today, if you say, you know what, when I leave this place, I want to know that I have a real relationship with Jesus. I want to know that. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. Maybe for you, I want to renew and I want to come back to Him. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And actually, I'm just going to ask all of us to pray. But the Bible says if you confess with your heart or your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead on the third day, you will be saved. No red tape, no fooling around, no confusion. It's that simple. Just believe in your heart that Jesus is inviting you to have a relationship with him. Put your faith in him for that relationship, and that's it. And so this morning, with every eye closed, online, wherever you are in the present or the future, just stop whatever you're doing and let's pray that prayer together. And if you mean it, Jesus is going to fill your life, and he's going to forgive you, and he's going to remove the weight, and you're going to start a new relationship today. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, this morning, I put my faith in you. I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. I ask you to wash me clean of everything I've ever done wrong. I ask you to put me in right relationship with God the Father. I put my faith in you, and I trust you. Now give me the strength to follow you. Before anybody opens their eyes, before anybody moves or does anything else, I want to invite you to respond one way, okay? No one looking around. This is a private moment. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to ask you to just lift your hand and so that I can see it. Just raise your hand up. If you prayed that prayer and you began a new relationship with Jesus, or you renewed a relationship with Jesus, would you just lift it up so I can see it? Just lift it up so I can see it. Just lift it up and hold it up. Nobody's looking around but me, and we have some prayer team members, and here's all they're going to do. They're going to bring you a booklet, and it'll just help you know what to do now. They're friends. They don't want anything from you. In the balcony, would you just lift your hand for a minute? If you're online and you prayed that prayer, just drop in the chat and let us know, and we're going to make sure you get that booklet. It's just a way to know what to do from here. Would you just lift your hand? In the balcony here, in the top, there's someone at the very top of the balcony. Over on that side, yeah. Over here, right here, we have about three or four right there. The top, very top right there. These are friends. They're just bringing you a gift. It's a little booklet just to tell you what do you do now. We just want to encourage you and help you. That's all. Wait just another minute. If you prayed that prayer and no one's brought you a booklet yet, just lift your hand and just let us put that in your hand so it'll be a source of encouragement to you, okay? All right. Is there anybody we missed? Just go ahead and lift your hand so we can see it. Okay. Okay. Our prayer team will be available after service, and if you missed one of those, we can get that to you, or that they're also be available to pray with you. Would you all open your eyes for a minute? And here's where I want to ask you to do one more thing, and then we're going to have an amazing song we're going to share with you. If you scan that QR code earlier, or if you haven't yet, would you do that now? Because here's one of the strengths of our church. It has been for decades. We have a really, really, really strong prayer ministry. And a lot of the people that were walking around passing out the booklets are part of that prayer team. And here's what we want to do. For the next 7 days, we want to pray for you. And so if you have a prayer need, as I said, Christmas is a magnifier. And a lot of times it makes the good times better, but it also makes the hard times more difficult. And if you have a prayer need, this is something everybody can do. Just drop in there and give us the need. Or I guarantee you, we all know someone who needs prayer. And here's our commitment to you. For the next 7 days, our prayer team is going to be praying for you specifically, intentionally, and by name. We're not just doing mass prayer. We're going to pray specifically for you. So if you would, give us the prayer need so we can pray for you. And if you did pray today to renew a relationship or to start a new relationship, let us know. Let us know there, okay? All right. If you'll do that, before you leave today, that would be a real blessing to us. Would you stand with me this morning? If you have a candle, it's time to turn it on. If you don't have a candle, would you lift your hand? We have ushers that are prepared. If we missed you somehow or you didn't get one, we're going to sing a song together. If you don't have one, just kind of wave. Just sort of wave. Our ushers are coming up and down the aisles. Wave and we'll get you a candle. Lord, we thank you today for the joy of this moment in this season. God, I pray today as we sing this song that your spirit would move in this place and online. And Lord, you would comfort the heart, you would encourage, you would build faith, and you would strengthen and you would minister to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this together.